32, February 6, 1991. Members present: Representative Brown, Representative Copeland, Representative Lavar, Representative Ulmer, Representative Phillips, Representative Jacko, and Representative Sharp.
R. Phillips. For the record.
Agenda for today is continuing overviews of the departments, natural resources, health and social services, and public safety. University of Alaska is on the agenda. However, they are flying all over the place because they weren't able to get into town this morning, and so we will reschedule them to next Wednesday for their overview. I'd like to begin. I'd like to begin this morning with, or this afternoon, with the Department of Natural Resources, Commissioner Hines. The format is about 15 minutes for an overview, and then 15 minutes for questions by the committee members, and then you'll have continuing opportunity at the subcommittee level to get more in depth. Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to make sure that you have in front of you a little booklet. That's the budget document. I don't propose to go through all of it, but I just want to make sure you've got it. And then also there was a single...
Commissioner, state your name for the record, and I'll remind all others who are coming to testify before the committee that we just have to get that on the record so they're able to keep track in the minutes.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. My name is Harold Hines. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. The other item I wanted to make sure you had in front of you was a single page. That's the priorities of the Department of Natural Resources. What I propose to you is just take a few minutes on the priorities. Tried to write out the sheet so that you could see the positive program we had laid out. The first two items on the sheet represent our two highest priorities. One has a short-term payoff. The other is what I consider to be a very long-term important project for the state. The first item is to basically develop a short list of high benefit projects. And what I've suggested here is that the Department of Natural Resources, working with the other agencies, working with the legislature, would develop a consensus on a short list of projects that would assure, as these projects came forward for permitting activities and other activities with the state government, that all the agencies would be committed to giving them priority treatment, so that if a project that met these generic descriptions came in, it would be basically put in the short stack, which was the priority stack, as opposed to just being dropped into the regular pile. We can talk whatever length you wish about some of the ideas I've put forward. I see this list being one that people contribute to, delete from, whatever over time, but I think it's important to bring a focus to the efforts that go on.
Thank you. Just briefly, I'm really curious to have a fuller discussion of the sale of North Slope gas, only because it's my understanding, and you've recently come from that industry, that the majors have written off those resources for all intents and purposes. I mean, we've got Alberta gas being delivered to California for a buck an MCF now, and I mean, I don't understand all those dynamics, but it seems to me that if the department is going to focus its energies and attention on this on a project level, that probably to understand it and become committed to that project ourselves, ought to understand the market dynamics and go through that. Seem to be, Mr. Chairman.
Well, let me see if I can. I think there would be great value in talking about it, obviously, in more depth.
Yeah.
But the purpose of this list is to not make the judgment as to the specifics of any project. I really do believe that the free market system will determine whether a project is viable or not. Obviously, there is questions of market related to North Slope Gas. There are questions of financing related to that. On the other hand, from a state point of view, the sale of North Slope Gas is the equivalent, basically, of a multi-billion barrel oil field, from our point of view. And as such, I think we have such high obvious benefit. And because it utilizes so much of the existing infrastructure, there's very low impact associated with it. We should treat it as a priority. The most recent example, and again, it is in the budget, is that Yukon Pacific did approach us and indicate to us over the next 2 years they were making a major investment of their money to proceed ahead with the preliminary engineering design of their project. As such, this is the ideal time for the state to get its input in. We are increasing the staffing in the pipeline office by 4 people. Now, fortunately, from a budget impact point of view, that is a zero sum because that is paid for by the company. The activities of the Joint Pipeline Office are funded by the pipelines that they work with. So increased staffing there has no budgetary consequence for us, and it's an opportunity to move forward. But again, be happy to get into the project from several different viewpoints. My only point being to you, from the state viewpoint, if a project happens, it's clearly in our benefit.
Mr. Chairman, I would agree. 50 trillion cubic feet or whatever it is now, the different numbers of people are using it. It's a huge resource, and we have a legitimate and real state interest. And we also have a legitimate and real state interest probably in tar sands and heavy oils and all those types of things that we haven't focused on and the Department of Natural Resource hasn't focused on either, and huge resource that we might talk more about.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, what sort of role do you foresee for the state with respect to the development of North Slope Gas? Obviously, as a royalty owner, that could be gas sales or financing of the gas line. I'm just interested in a capsule of what you envision.
My view of what our role is in any of these projects is actually very limited. My view is that as basically a regulator, we have a responsibility to look at these projects. As an owner, I think we have a responsibility to make our resources available to go with these kinds of projects if they came forward. For instance, coal export, if people are interested in coal resources, we've got a number of those that could be made available. Beyond that, I don't foresee any role for the state unless a project sponsor comes forward and can identify some role that provides the state with a very direct benefit. I'm not adverse to listening to those discussions, but in any of these, I'm not really aware of a direct role. I can certainly visualize where, as the owner, again, we might choose to make some investment to enhance the value of our basic asset. For instance, when I look at some of the visitor attraction possibilities in a more grander scale, we are the landowner those attractions would be on. And just as a tract of land that has no access to it has a certain value, if we had access to it, its value is greatly increased. And sometimes there's an opportunity to make an investment and actually increase the value of your asset by far greater number. I would not turn my back on those opportunities, but again, I think it would have to be something where it was fairly clear cut that we would recover our investment made. And I do not visualize a very major role in terms of investment. I do see a major role in trying to work with the companies and not slow them down, adhere to the timeline of their project.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to note for the record that Representative McLean and Representative Boyer have joined us, and I'll go to Representative Woolmer, but I do want to say that I'd like to focus on the budget overview rather than other questions. Representative Woolmer.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. We didn't even allow you to get 5 minutes into your presentation before we started with your questions, but I have to say that as I look at what your priorities are, reach consensus at policy level on short list of project types offering state significant direct benefits and having minimal negative impacts. And then I look at your list and I don't see fisheries on there, and I guess I'm flabbergasted because it is, of course, one of the highest employment opportunities, one of our premier revenue raisers after oil and gas, and offers substantial long-range benefits. And although admittedly the Department of Fish and Game is separate from the Department of Natural Resources, there's a great deal that DNR can do to either assist or cripple that natural resource activity in this state. And I'm not exactly sure what the significance of either being on your high-benefit list or not really will mean, but I guess I'll just leave it, Mr. Chairman, with saying that let's get together soon and talk fish.
That'd be a pleasure, and I've already written down the Alaskanization of the fisheries. The second priority shown on there is the longer-term impact project. And for, again, this requires a number of other agencies to be involved, but clearly the Department of Natural Resources, I think, has to take the lead in this project, which is to finalize the statehood land selection. And I did bring along the land status map. A number of you may be familiar with it. Basically, it shows the current pattern of the landhold in Alaska, as you may or may not be aware. Because, again, I think it came as a surprise to some folks. There is only 3 years left in the land selection process. We have the opportunity to select somewhere around 20 million acres, give or take 5 million acres, in that final round here of selection. If you look at the pattern of ownership, the brown represents restricted federal ownership. The green represents federal ownership in a less restrictive status, basically Tungus, Chugach, and the Petroleum Reserve up north. The blue land represents state holdings already selected. The dark blue represents legislatively designated state land. The pink represents the native land hold, and the yellow represents the areas available for selection. The pattern of that ownership is important, especially as you start to look at the longer-term future of Alaska. As you're well aware, in the 30 years land selection has been going on, the initial focus was on fairly short-term needs, short-term payoff. Fortunately, somewhere along the way, somebody selected Prudhoe Bay, and that turned out to be a wonderful opportunity. As time has gone by, some of the focus has shifted to the longer term. I would suggest to you that in this final round of selection, it is important that we adopt a very long-term attitude for Alaska. What we don't get in the way of ownership could be potentially foreclosed to us in the future. And again, we have to think of a generation from now, what they might want to do, and at least leave them the option. I don't know whether they'll want to do it, but I would feel bad if we have not left them the option to do it. It becomes increasingly important if you look at the pattern of that ownership, and more importantly, if you look at how the brown area on that map, the federally designated restricted areas, has changed over the last 10 years. That brown area has expanded, and across the north and across the western part of Alaska, it's pretty well cut the state up into pieces. Additionally, if you look at the map, for instance, there is only one crossing of the Yukon River right now. It is hard for me to visualize that within a couple generations we won't need more crossings of the Yukon River than one. It's like the Mississippi River in the lower 48. What we visualize here is a project team approach to it, working a number of issues in parallel, not only resources, corridors, the federal issues, the native relationships that are indicated on here, and just broadly the strategies of what we want to accomplish. It is something that I think we can drive a process that early in it calls upon the public for high knowledge input. With only 3 years left, we don't have time for data. What we need is knowledge to drive our selection. And then finally, as we get towards the end of the process, I see a lot of opportunity for the public in terms of strategy and input in the finalization effort. And just sketching quickly the other two priorities with you, clearly the Department of Natural Resources has the opportunity to keep state revenues up. Even though we don't get the book, the checks, and other things, a lot of our activities are very important. The recent lease sale of last week added $34 million to the coffers of the state, and we would hope to find other opportunities like that. And then as a manager, I just believe that you're always carrying around a short list of hot buttons, as I would call them, that there's a few things that change over time, but they represent the priorities in a hot button sense. And I've written down what I call some special one-time emphasis projects, ranging from the spruce bark beetle, our state park refurbishment, a number of things related to investment opportunities with fairly quick payout, grading on down to dealing with the groundwater contamination in a number of our urban areas, and the cleanup of hazardous waste contamination on state lands. Those then are a quick sketch through of our priorities. I would appreciate feedback over time or now or whatever.
Representative McClain.
Thank you. Mr. Hines, I'd like to find out what DNR's philosophy is on the municipal entitlements.
Okay. Basically, the municipal entitlements program has existed for quite a while. There are a number of outstanding selections that have not been fulfilled. What I would suggest is that we place a priority on those entitlement selections in terms of processing them. All of them are valid selections, and it's simply a matter of how fast things occur. A number of municipalities have needs for the transfer of title for basically settlement. They've run out of room to live in. They've run out of room to basically operate in as entities. I think those types of things have to receive the priority in terms of our transference. I would suggest that we put most of our emphasis on trying to get this last 20 million acres of selection right. It is going to require some trade-off against some of the other traditional land management activities. Not to say we're going to stop the other activities, but I think we have to pick and choose a little more carefully where some of our efforts are.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Kopanen and then Representative Phillips.
Yes, Prue. Proceeding on the land selection, I think I have to say that the military lands are underrepresented there. There's a larger area that the military claims control of, at least in the Tanimo Valley. We're used to that around there. I think that's a I think it's a construct of the way the map is done, but it might be looked at. The state has, since statehood, worked on selection of lands and survey of land about a number of years ago. The process slowed down very drastically for reasons I believe are partly internal to the department. And I know that principally most of the actual field survey has always been contracted out to the private sector. But for a number of years, we've had difficulty making sure that money goes into the contract so that the department is able to contract out. The other is, of course, the necessity of oversight and technical monitoring of the surveys. In the Fairbanks area, we had a number of disastrous surveys done by outfits that expanded too rapidly to meet the demand. And I remember a circle about the size of this that had 17 separate points, all of which were supposed to be the same point, but obviously no piece of property in those surveys could be mortgaged, sold, or bought. So I hope that actually, rather than reducing the survey function of land and water management, that you actually increase the number of technically competent people to monitor and to let the contracts and to make sure that they perform adequately.
As you see in our Division of Land and Water, we have eliminated some survey positions. The elimination there speaks entirely to doing our own, quote, surveying work, as opposed to the professional competence side, the letting of contracts, the monitoring of the quality of the work. We believe that monitoring of the quality of the work, the letting of the contracts, is important not only within DNR, but we'd like to make sure we're in support of the other agencies. On the other hand, it is very hard for us to justify that we actually are out surveying and using our energies in that way when we can obtain competent surveyors out there. We think it's a better focus of our job to concentrate on the quality, as you've suggested.
Well, you're retaining eight positions, and I presume that they're not all in survey. Some of them must be secretarial staff. There have to be some draftsmen to look at the maps and to get things prepare them. 20 million acres to be surveyed in not necessarily contiguous parcels. you're left with eight, I don't really see that you're going to be able to do the job.
In this case, I should explain that our budget in this case was developed by the division directors, and this represents their judgments as to what they can and cannot do. I, in this case, have accepted that judgment with the understanding that we were not going to sacrifice the quality of what was done. We would physically be contracting for much more work. Yes.
Heard the same assurances from three previous directors. I'm not always convinced of that. I mean, right. Commissioners, I'm not always. On the coal exports, I realize that DNR is not in directly charged with market development, but exports usually do require some help. Are you developing a program, say, with the Department of Commerce, which is interested in international trade, on making developing markets for our products?
Certainly, I'm aware that Commerce and Economic Development is the marketer internationally, and all I'm trying to flag to you here is that I at least have a recognition that coal export is a high benefit to the state type of project, and since we have a number of opportunities like that, I'd like to see them pursued.
Sometimes the efficiency of our operations is improved by show and tell between departments. We can put those.
You bet, sir.
Representative Phillips. Commissioner, I have a couple questions on your, and this is obviously of interest to me, on your one-time emphasis. One is the refurbishing of the campgrounds and parks along the main highways, and the other is the plant materials center. I have a interest in it, or special interest, whatever you want to call it, in those two items. So if you can just give a 30-second or 60-second briefing here, because I know we're limited on time. That's why I wanted to know what you guys are doing.
I will be happy to send over to all the members of the committee a copy of a brochure that was prepared on the refurbishing the state parks. They are in such bad shape that we are presenting a very negative image to our visitors. Our own citizens who use them three quarters of the time do not feel well about them. The focus here is to try and deal with what I would call the high access parks. Some of those may not be on the main highway system, but it's the high access parks. And just trying to present ourselves. You will see a $15 million capital item related to a multi-year program to accomplish this, and I'd be happy to send you a brochure on it. It's something we take very seriously. The other is the Plant Materials Center. I was amazed as I worked into the job and saw what was involved with the Plant Materials Center.
And
yes, sir. Yeah, I went in the first week. I was very disappointed when I realized that the whole sort of genetic history of the agriculture of our state was all sitting in one spot, that there was no backup to it. And I'm just not used to placing that critical an asset at risk like that in one spot. And while it may be a very low probability event, it is easy to visualize a catastrophic event that could really do some damage. And what this basically says is we will develop a plan of not duplicating the facility, but simply of providing a backup for that diversity of genetic material.
I'd like to, I'll talk to you later on the
right.
Parks and stuff.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, this question goes to the effect of the reductions that the governor has asked you to incorporate. Just looking over it, I think you've done a good job in trying to balance things. One that does concern me, or there are several that concern me, one that I wanted to bring up now relates to park management. I think you seem to acknowledge the importance of the parks and the overall role, our role as the visitor state. There are in your capital request a number of park improvements, both new initiatives as well as repair and rehabilitation. But when you look at the operating reductions to the park staff, it's significant, and I think we've, or at least it's my belief, that we've been stretched pretty thin in that area. So I'm just wondering, number one, is it really feasible that the anywhere near the capital request is going to be included $69 million? That's quite a lot, and in the context of what we're working with. And then, does it really make sense to say we're going to have an initiative to work in this area when we are severely cutting back our management, or, you know, people in the field that are actually doing the work? I just wondered if you could give us your idea of how these reductions may, in fact, have unintended adverse economic impacts.
Okay. I think I understand your question, and it's sort of a chicken-egg situation. Which came first here? Number one, I would observe to you that we have proposed a very aggressive capital program on rehabilitation. That will save money and effort in terms of the operations and maintenance. Right now, we have people doing a lot of things that, again, we can avoid spending that money, avoid spending that people time if the parks are in good shape, rather than having to constantly spend their time just on the little fix-up jobs. If they're a much more modern facility, that helps. Secondly, basically we walk the service line here of our visitors and our recreational uses being very seasonal. And certainly with fuller funding, one has longer seasons. And in this case, what we've attempted to deal with is recognizing that. But Neil Johansson, in looking at this, has basically taken the position reductions in the office staff. And he has not done it in terms of the rangers out in the field. There may be some shortening of the time the rangers are available, but it's not loss of positions in that sense.
Well, just looking at your material on page 4, it looks like the bulk of it is reduction of field people, interagency receipts, active management in remote parks, and reducing to a shorter season makes up the majority of the reduction. But in any event, I guess that does concern me. I'd hope that as we implement these reductions, we don't short the operating budget so much that we're not able to carry out the things that we're trying to do. I can see that you're trying to make up in the capital budget for some of the survey loss in the operating budget. I just wonder what happens if this capital piece is not approved.
There clearly, to answer you, Representative Brown, clearly there is a linkage of the operating budget and the capital budget, and you've identified at least two of the key areas. The way to, in some of these cases, structurally, in the long term, reduce our operating budget is to make some investments. For instance, there's money in our capital budget here to replace a heating plant at the Fairbanks building that is ancient. And it is not hard at all to demonstrate that by buying a new plant, in 3 years you've paid the new furnace off and you have savings that then accrue. We're attempting to make those structural changes throughout here. We have tried very hard to walk the line of service, and I hear your concern and I share your concern. It is going to be tricky to walk through some of these.
If I could ask one more on South Denali, what's the status of that now? And do these priorities represent your ranked listing? In other words, the order of priority on your capital on pages 6 and 7, are those order in priority order? This one's number 34.
Let's see if I get on the right page with you.
It's on page 7, it's item 34, okay. The South Denali Visitor Complex. There was some litigation going on. I was just wondering, right, is that project ready to move forward at this time?
It currently has had its sort of day in court. I believe the judge has it under advisement at this point. It could basically be ruled on any day. The day in court is over. We certainly expect the judge to rule in favor of that. What we can move ahead on immediately with that is the RFP for the project. It's already prepared and really with a little cleanup work over a few days, it can be put out as soon as the judge basically allows us to. Coming out of that, in the longer term, I think there's a number of ways that project can go forward. I see it as a very important project in the longer term that the state make available what I would consider to be a high access visitor complex for McKinley. I would take a very cautious approach as to how much state dollars need to go into that. I believe we have an important role in setting the standard and in making the land available, but I would expect to receive a return for the land made available, and I would expect, again, whatever investment I made to be returned to me in the form of lease or some other payments.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Hines, I would like you to share your thoughts, please, on the reduction, major cities only, recorder's office. I'm going to give you about four here and let you answer them all at once. What that reduction does as far as recorder's office goes, if that will cause any closures, reduce cadastral surveys, if you could speak to that one. Also, I don't understand the reduction in force management because I believe we overspent the budget last year. Fire suppression, I believe that we have to do a supplemental on that. And then the reduction in the state fairs, that would be the last one I would ask comments on, please.
Okay. The recorder's offices are scattered around the state. A number of them are one-person type offices located in the different parts of Alaska. We are recommending no change in those offices. In the major cities, we have fairly large offices where we feel that we can reduce the people and basically provide the same recording service. There is a mail-in type operation associated with that, and when people utilize that, all they care is that they are registered timely. They don't really care if it takes a little extra time to get the document back, as long as they know it's recorded. And that's the kind of efficiencies we would be looking for in the system there. That's why we focused on the larger offices, because you can do that kind of an efficiency operation. The survey work, as Representative Brown noted, there is a capital piece that provides for the survey work being done. It's just whether we have our own surveyors as state employees do the work or whether we contract for it. Again, shifting emphasis to the quality of what's done. In terms of fire suppression, fighting forest fires, yes, the amount is down, and yes, you will be looking at a supplemental to last year. Last year was an extraordinary year in terms of the number, intensity, location, every measure I know of forest fires. The folks did a super job of dealing with it. It cost a lot of money. The projection here is a prediction based upon returning a more normal year of expectation. And it may be wrong, but at least it's a normal expectation. Finally, the state fairs in this budget, basically, they are a pass-through. We aggregate those numbers. We do not subject them to any review. If you would like us to, we'd be happy to. We've reduced them in this case as part of the total budget, but that's not based on any interaction with what those monies are used for or what they're about. If you'd like us to exercise some management supervision over that, we'd be happy to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just say that during this administration, we're going to be up against that time deadline on that last 20 million acres of land selection, and I personally feel it's very critical that, for my information anyway, that as soon as possible that we get some kind of information on whatever the critical path timelines are on the various phases achieving the up to the selection process and meeting the deadline. As those are developed, I personally would request that you let us know as that's developed, because I think we're going to have to live with that for a long time. We better get it right.
So. I agree entirely. As we put some more specifics to sort of the interagency task force nature of it and those type of things, we'll certainly share that with you. One of the key parts of the plan is to indicate very clearly to you the when and hows of public involvement, as well as obviously your own input. But those items are not ready yet. I'm sorry, we just have not gotten to that point yet. I will share with you the enthusiasm and importance you expressed is almost a universal reaction as I've talked to different Alaskans about the project. People really do want to get involved and they really do want to help.
Okay, Representative Boyer, then Representative Larson, then Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the absence of the